Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's got Star Trek, episode 40. Lower Decks, season 1, episode 4. Moist Vessel.
If we can get down to the environmental controls, there might be a way to reverse this.
Are you sure that's the best rock for this?
What? Yes, no, yes, it's fine. It's a rock.
Look, I'm just saying, I think you should use the shale over there.
Mom, it is the same thing. Just leave me alone.
It's just maybe you'd want one with more of a point.
Oh, my God. Why do you have to second guess every choice I make?
To help you, Beckett. What am I supposed to do?
Frank, just stand by and let you keep making a mistake. What I would prefer is if you would just let me do me. There. See? The rock was fine.
Yeah, well, we could have gotten here faster.
All right. So, here we are. Episode 40 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. We'll get started in a second. Tonight, we're joined by special guest Jimmy, who's been on the program before. He's our correspondent from Philadelphia.
Philly's nuts.
And given that this podcast is normally hosted by three upper-ish, middle-class white people, we thought it would be appropriate to invite a fourth. Jimmy's joining us again. All right, so we're going to get
Thanks
started
for
now.
Having me.
Traditionally, we start the episode with some sort of humorous anecdote. Isn't that what we do? Did we do that?
I thought we already did that.
Did we do that?
I think we just did that.
All right, we might have already done that.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Was
it? I mean, I normally look to Dan to come up with some
moist vessel. There
moist
was no.
Vessel.
There was no away mission here on this episode.
I did not think of that.
So that
didn't
breaks
need
that.
One.
So there's no, like, they're not sticking to any kind of
well,
pattern.
Well, maybe that's why the yawning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That yawning was freaking me
more
out.
More and more yawning. I just kept getting, like, bigger and bigger, and she was like,
when I first heard it, I thought there was some kind of monster in behind me in the room. I was like, what the fuck was that?
You got a good stereo system.
Yeah, right?
You got a good hi-fi.
There were just some shelf speakers that were behind me, which is normally fine, but, like, when it's a crazy noise like that, every once in a while it pushes through. And then after a while, her yawning started to, like, I was like, that sounds really unsatisfying. Like a really unsatisfying yawn. She's like,
that's the,
like
work, that's the work yawn. That's the work yawn.
Yeah.
The unsatisfying where even in her case, in this teaser where she was being fairly blatant about it, it's still a work yawn. It's not as good as a
work
home
yawn.
Home yawn.
I would say that a bad yawn is for me is worse than a bad sneeze. A bad sneeze is just a letdown, but a bad yawn is actually, just like, I feel like I can't breathe anymore.
A bad yawn is as I get older, it becomes way more concerning because it used to just be frustrating. It was like, oh, I can't quite get that. I can't complete the yawn.
You can't turn that engine over.
But now in my, 40, I'm 40 years old.
40.
40.
40 years old.
40.
40.
More like Borty.
When I get that not being able to yawn thing, I'm like, oh my God, do I have a problem in my diaphragm?
Well, yeah. Do I have got all sorts of things in my
lungs?
Chest?
Do I have COVID? What's happening? Is this shortness of breath?
You have diminished lung capacity.
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
Well, anyway,
we're
so.
All dying.
Moist vessel.
Underplayed title, underused title, overplayed
moist.
Maybe, like, because there was not a whole lot of them. I get it. It was in reference to the elemental fluid that transforms inert matter into living ecosystem, which I was hoping, it's fine, it's neither here nor there, but I was kind of hoping that one of the ships would turn into like a crazy monster ship.
That would have been cool.
But they went literal ecosystem, I guess, where it's like a biodome. But
I think that, you know.
It was still fun.
I enjoyed this week's better than last week, I think.
This episode, I was really entertained by this episode.
This one was fun.
Had some funnier bits.
It did have a lot of funny bits. I think it's the most Star Trek story they've told so far.
Yeah.
And specifically, it's kind of the most TAS, the animated series style, because, you know, it really gave me vibes of that.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking
it's
that
hilarious
too.
Hilarious that I mentioned that.
It's just, I'm going to die later.
When the goo was going over the ship, I was thinking TAS.
Yeah. And so, what? And I actually was thinking around the first part of the episode, I was thinking, comparing it to TS, and I was like, well, TS has really cool, these cool matte, is that what they're called? Matte drawings or whatever? The backgrounds, basically. Yeah. The awesome backgrounds that look fantastical and amazing and awesome in TAS. And this one doesn't have that as much, but of course the animation is higher quality, so it puts across a message in a different way. But like, that's probably why I was thinking about that, because this episode, there was so much goo and colors and things.
I think the main difference between this and the animated series from the 70s is you could have seen almost the same plot. I think the primary difference would be that the animated series, the animated
that
series
would be the biggest difference.
Yeah, the different characters, the different era, the female yeomen.
Yes.
No, it's that.
But it's very
the
dry,
animated series too. Did less A-B plots. So in this series, it is a shorter episode length, but they're still sticking to the A-B plot structure more so than the animated series. On the animated series, more of this story would have been on the ancient ship.
Yes.
There would have been more like wandering around the ship and seeing some weird freaky shit.
Yep.
Totally.
Would have been nice drawings and cool colors.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the first episode of the
series. Yeah.
When it's the freaky ship, bug ship.
Yeah, that is pretty nuts.
Yeah, Mariner was kind of being, you know, after at a certain point, I was like, okay, she's being a little overboard with her jerkiness. Like, not a criticism of
the yawn, man. It ends with a yawn. It's brilliant.
It's not a criticism of the writing. It's more just like, man, she's being kind of a jerk. They're trying to explain how to do this mission. Whether that Durango guy, who had a weird turn at the end that you didn't get any kind of, they didn't provide, maybe there's cut lines or something that explains his background and why he suddenly decided
he's a shit cat.
Want to be this one in charge.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to complete this mission. I want to be in a position to look like I'm the captain of this mission. And when did that happen?
They kind of intimated.
It happened really quickly.
They hint at some sort of rivalry between Captain Freeman and Captain Durango. And I like the idea of a Tellarite being named Durango for some reason.
Durango.
That was kind of weird,
They hinted that, but I don't think it was fully developed. I agree. I think there could have been a few things early on to make it more clear that Captain Freeman, one of the reasons she wants to do a good job on this particular mission is to show up Captain Durango, perhaps.
Right, because everyone thinks he's boring and they know that. And it's like, okay, we got to work with him.
Yeah, even Freeman relented when Mariner was like, he's so boring. She's like, I know he's boring, but like, you can't be like that. So
he was like, he's been boring for 15 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was great. He's been boring for 15 years. You just have to deal with it.
I like museums and dust and old gates. Old gates.
What little we saw of that ancient generation ship was pretty cool. What was it? It was called I can't remember.
They were calling it Generation Ship. But it's like the Genesis thing.
Yes. It had smacks.
Genesis does.
Like when they were talking about it, I was like, it's kind of like device. Genesis.
You can't do this on its
liquid Genesis.
I was like, building from dead matter to life. I was like, give me what is
you've
Genesis.
Got liquid Schwartz and you've got liquid Genesis. Genesis.
Liquid Schwartz.
Liquid Schwartz.
So there is actually an article on Sci-Fi Wire that makes a comparison. It says that there's, first of all, been a lot of references to Khan throughout the series, or at least a handful. And apparently they were saying that this one had sort of an ongoing Khan thing having to do with...
Sort of, yeah. The space seed.
Her mom was named Carol or something.
Oh, yes.
Carol Marcus.
Yeah, she calls her Carol.
From the Wrath of Khan, she calls her
Carol.
Yeah,
that's Kirk's wife.
That was over my head for sure, but...
Carol Marcus.
I mean, that's pretty... It's almost hard to say that's a reference. I mean, Carol is a common name.
They did have those cryogenic peeps on that on that colony ship, too.
Yeah, they did. So that was the beginning. That was very space.
Yeah, and there's also that weird TNG where they find those cryogenic people and they bring them back to
life. People from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's like that cowboy guy and some other guy.
Stay back in the
80s. Then there was the one that they didn't bring back from time, but they might as well have. They went to the planet and got the Irish peasants.
Yeah, that was weird.
Drunken Irish peasants or something. It wasn't even back in time. It was just some planet where they happened to live now.
It was just 1980s writers were saying, like, how can we be racist against Irish people? It's getting really difficult to be racist against Irish people.
It's been so long. Lady Gregory.
Let's find a way to do it. An efficient way to do it.
No Irish.
We'll give them a bunch of livestock and make them act like idiots.
So Yeah, this line from the article basically says, it says the best...
What a drunk Irishman.
The best joke in Moist Vessel is essentially one long reference to the Wrath of Khan, and it all clicks together with the utterance of one word, and I think that's Carol. I don't know. Yeah, it might be kind of...
The best joke is that could be reaching for it, but...
The censor.
That's the best joke.
The censor's joke.
Censors.
At the end with the admiral. When the admiral...
Don't you like to have fun?
What is it? The admiral says, I've got to get back to the ship because there's apparently something wrong with the censors.
Yeah,
censors.
Right.
I was rolling laughing at the entire...
Aria actually. Because
I always
was
laugh
chuckling.
When they say it on the show, funny. And he's like, everybody's saying censors.
Yeah,
they know they're censors. Saying, like, it started with like Spock would say censors.
There was definitely a Spock thing.
And then sometimes people would say it here and there. And then, like, even people on TNG would say it, like, especially Data. And you're like, well, Data's not a Vulcan, but he's just a weird android.
Geordi would say it sometimes too, but not always. Not always.
But it's just weird how it would just pop up and it's like, did he say censors? Like, even Picard would say shit like that. It's like, why is he talking like that?
Yeah, and that's it was pretty funny and clever reference to the show. They also had, and I don't know if this was a reference, but it seemed kind of, it reminded me of Star Trek when the dude was ascending and she was like, how long is this going to take? how long? Shouldn't it just kind of be like blip and it happens?
Every
like,
way,
there shouldn't
right
be
way.
All these crazy effects, but that was funny.
Yeah, oh, and by the way,
why is he smiling? Why is he smiling?
That was who? Lieutenant, I think. Was it Lieutenant or?
It was attending.
It was Haley Joel Osment.
It was Haley Joel Osment. Was the voice of O'Connor.
Oh, really?
Okay, that's,
yeah, I forget which rank
that guy
he was.
Has, like,
that's funny.
Consonants popping up in his name in weird spots.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, Osment.
Haley Joel Osment. Haley.
He's funny, but you know, he's been showing up so many places.
In
he was on.
Yeah.
He was on What We Do in the
yeah,
Shadows.
Yeah,
this
the first
year.
Episode of season two.
He was on
Silicon
the,
Valley a couple of seasons.
Silicon
yeah,
Valley.
He was.
He was on The Boys. The Boys. He was really good in The Boys in his role there. He was also I think it was season either 10 or 11 of X-Files. You know, one of the recent X-Files seasons he was on there.
I see dead people.
Yeah, it's, okay. I think it's kind of – he also shows up on Comedy totally. Bang Bang a lot. I like seeing Haley Joel Osment do well because I just get the impression his life was pretty miserable for a while after Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And he's a great actor and he's particularly
good
at this
comedy. Have
you been
to that restaurant where they filmed some of that movie in Philadelphia? Isn't that like a famous restaurant in Philadelphia?
Oh, what, in Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Shit, man, I don't know.
Because they also do some, like, Always Sunny in that same restaurant.
I wonder
what restaurant is it?
I don't know. I don't know what it's called, but I know I've seen it.
I wonder how Jake Lloyd, you know, young Annie, I wonder how he's doing.
Oh, dude, he hates.
Yeah.
He got arrested. I mean, the poor dude.
Oh,
that dude
guy.
Is
yeah.
so fucked up.
So Osment probably wasn't doing as bad as him, but still. Osment
fared much better, I think.
Yes, yes, he did. Yes, he's a lot more well-adjusted.
Yeah, he was older
when
he filmed his role.
What happened to that guy?
He's still popping around.
He's still doing stuff.
Wasn't he in Looper or was that someone else?
That was
Jumper.
Jumper. Oh, it was Jumper.
Jumper.
Oh, Jumper was Looper. That kid from
Looper.
Third Rock from the
yeah,
Sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
kid,
the other
that kid.
Yeah.
From
Gordon,
Third
Gordon,
Rock.
Gordon Levitt.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a very popular
he's cool.
actor.
That's all I can think of. Is that kid?
No, he was in Third Rock.
With the long hair.
He was in Inception.
Inception.
Inception, he's in that.
He was?
Yeah, he was in
that. No, that was Leo DiCaprio.
But he was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He was also in that?
He had that top, and that's how you knew whether you were
Joseph Gordon-Levitt also played Proto Robin
in
Dark Knight Rises.
Proto Robin. Maybe it's under
Proto
my real
Robin.
Name. Robin.
I am a Proto Robin.
It was cool to see Haley Joel Osment. I was like, I recognize that voice, but I had to look it up to see exactly who it was.
And he's a lieutenant junior grade.
Ah, there you go.
Because he's got a
pip and a black pip.
Yeah, a pip and
an
circle.
Empty pip.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's the whole...
you don't see that too often on the show. You always see, like, the full lieutenants or the ensigns.
Right.
There's the whole joke of the guy who's about to ascend is suddenly, like, really stressed out all the time.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, but, I mean, it turned out...
It's my thing, man.
It turned out it's because... You know, he just wasn't really doing it for real. And so, Tendi was funny because she talks about how she's, you know, really needs people to like her. So she's like really overbearing about that. And then when he says that they have this thing in common, she's like, we're best friends now.
I'm going to die with my best friend.
Yeah.
And they end up making out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Well,
I thought there were some very interesting things with this.
That.
Particular storyline.
Well, you like Mariner's like kind of half open shirt and you see a little.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like in the last
episode.
I was
like, what? Yeah. I mean, she's been. I was like, how? Man. And
I
want to
see more
Boimler.
Like,
on like social media. You're like, Rule 34. It's like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally oiled up Ransom.
Yeah. Ransom is very sexy with
Ransom.
A shirt off.
There you go.
But in that storyline with Tendi
sexy
and
man.
O'Connor, what was interesting about it was that. Tendi is an Orion, and they have not yet really addressed that. But if you are a Star Trek fan, you know that the stereotype, the tradition of the Orion women is the quote-unquote slave women.
The Orion Syndicate.
Sex slaves. Then the Orion Syndicate. And there was this really, I mean, it's a problematic episode of Enterprise where they have this whole Orion's girls coming in and are using hormones somehow, or all the men are going crazy. It's an episode you're watching and you're kind of having fun, and then you kind of think like, twice about it, and you're like, this is not.
Hasn't aged well.
Ryan's
got trafficked in here.
But they haven't really addressed that with Tendi yet, and I'm wondering if, and I've respected the fact that Tendi is not shown as some sort of sex queen or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
good.
She's an awesome, young nerd, smart woman, right?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they'll presumably play around with the Orion culture at some point.
That's cool. She's independent.
This episode really showed her to be like, she needs approval from people. And it's not approval from a boss necessarily or whatever. She wants approval from everyone she meets, right?
Yeah.
And I'm curious if that's going to be a function of like her culture somehow, or her psychology from being an Orion, if they're going to do anything with that.
It makes you wonder.
Right.
You
know. Because it would sort of make sense if,
right,
because
he was like, you know, some people are talking, it's like, not everyone likes you. And she's like, who?
Yeah.
I like how I like that.
I like how
she's like, who doesn't like me?
The last shot was her like with
Rutherford's arm
all twisted back. That was pretty awesome. But I keep wanting to call him Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
But
sexy Hulk.
I just in blue cheese. Rutherford.
You can presume that in Orion society, or at least traditional stereotypical Orion society, that if you're a woman, something you would be taught is that your worth is directly related to how many people are attracted to you, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You could interpret it that way. So I'd be I'm very interested to see if they do more with that and explore her culture a little bit and some of the problematic aspects of her culture.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, they... Do you think that each episode so far has explored characters? I mean, other than the pilot, which is just, you know, just tells you what they're all about.
Expository and introductory.
Yeah, so would you say that this was like a really exploratory episode on Tendi, though? Because they have the one, I guess, the one where they went to the planet with Ransom and Mariner, and they sort of, you know, had that moment where you learn a little bit more about them. You also learn about Mariner and her mom a little bit more in this one, too.
That's kind of
so.
It's probably more exploratory for them.
Yeah, I think so.
For Tendi.
Right. Because eventually they're breaking down. And
Tendi's
like,
just sort of acting more ridiculous and over the top.
I mean,
yeah, totally.
But we're still learning about her.
As the audience, I mean, though.
Like, yeah, so... You know, I wonder when they'll start, if they'll ever go like serious hardcore into a character. Like there was a Discovery episode that there was a certain character we didn't see much of. And then there was an episode where they went super into that character. Mm-hmm. So I guess they have 23 minutes or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's only so much they can put in there.
Right.
But for me, this was a lot of character development for Tendi, even though it was focused on a specific aspect of her personality. I mean, we now know more concretely she really desires and almost requires people's approval and attention, positive attention.
Everyone's got to like
her. That is a big
right.
Sort of, that did reveal something new about
and
her personality.
Yeah. In an almost like Leslie Nopish style way, she's willing to do stuff.
She's got notebooks.
She's selfish about it, right? She was selfish about her need to get O'Connor. I think it was O'Connor, right? To like her, right?
She was.
It didn't matter about his feelings,
right? No, it's all about her.
She gave him that weird metronome, and like,
and he smashed it. Yeah, he was just like,
I don't want to see you anymore.
So he's like, you suck.
Earlier, before we started recording, I was looking up. So that metronome, it was a Hyverian metronome, and I'm like, what the heck?
Word, okay. I could never catch what it was called.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, I was like, what the heck is a Hyverian metronome? So I looked it up. And the only thing I really came across was I stumbled across this PDF document called Federation Ship Recognition Manual 2385 edition.
Sweet.
It's 204 pages.
I love that it's only available in PDF.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so there's one reference to Hyverian, and all it says, historical notes, Defiant, there's a Defiant destroyed by Hyverian terrorists at Starbase 13 on Stardate 41303. The Defiant. So maybe that was a DS9 thing, I guess, maybe.
Well, it could also be an original series. There was a Defiant in the original series.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a pretty obscure reference, because I didn't search amazingly.
I mean, it's obscure enough that we don't even have a conclusive answer to it, even with the power of the internet.
Yeah, and the first, and the fact that the first thing I came across is this 204-page like technical manual on the.
By next week, I think you should read the entire manual.
And you're gonna have some lobster.
See if
mac
there's any other clues.
Cheese,
lobster mac,
that truffle stuff.
Oh,
on
it
top.
Was like the
with the baked bread,
bread on top.
Baked bread, yeah. On top.
With the
macaroni
bread
cheese
on
the breaded top.
He was like, gnocchi and fritters.
Yeah, gnocchi and fritters.
Fritters are awesome. It's because it's like, what's a fritter? It's anything that's fried and delicious, and it's fancy, right, and it's fun.
What do you think about this, introducing this concept? It may not be the first time it's introduced, but probably the first time we've really paid attention to this concept of different levels of staff having access to different, not only different parts of the ship and different systems, but actually different programs in the...
There was like the discovery where Saru's eating those blueberries, and he's offering them to Michael Burnham, and she's like, oh, these blueberries taste better than what we have in prison. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe it does. Like, maybe they got different replicators.
Yeah. They use like a cheaper program. Which doesn't really make any sense. Like, I guess one that maybe it requires less energy or something. Yeah. Maybe the Lower Decks people, the programs are simpler. Like the food nutrient matrix is simpler, which requires less energy.
Yeah.
So that reduces.
So you're still
the
getting the blueberry, but it doesn't have that extra sparkle to it.
That sucks.
Just kind of a mushy.
That's no good.
Speaking of infinite energy,
it's not good.
Why are the saucer portions always so separate from the warp nacelles? Is it just because the warp nacelles are that fucked up? Like, they can't envelop them and shit. They always have to be exposed. And the I was looking at the
Federation architecture.
Yeah.
Other spacefaring cultures build their ships with the warp nacelles sort of like all built
in.
Normal looking ships.
Right. And so
a shuttlecraft.
The California's got that whole thing. California. The California has that whole.
The Cerritos?
The Cerritos,
it's
you're right.
California,
so,
class.
Cerritos.
So it was the Merced.
It had the weird STEMI kind of chair-looking, like orthopedic chair-looking thing.
Those are both towns
and so
in California.
It's just like it's like an interesting design decision that looks cool. I don't know. It seems like they could utilize more space, but you know, it's not a big deal. Who cares, right?
I was initially thinking about.
You're awesome, man.
I was.
I think that's cool.
I was briefly annoyed that Captain really Durango's ship was also a California class.
California.
Because I'm thinking, this is an animated show. It's kind of the same. People had the same criticism of the season finale of Picard. Mm. Won't give any spoilers, but see some Federation ships and they're all basically the same. And so I had a twinge of that, but then getting into the story, I realized that, well, part of it is that we're supposed to imply this pre-existing sort of competitive nature between Captain Freeman and Captain Durango. So it kind of makes sense, actually, that they would be at the exact same level in their career, on the exact same type of ship in their career.
He was super insecure.
Yes, he was.
And so was Captain Freeman. I mean,
she is too.
She is. It's very interesting to see because.
But she never really made any moves that were simply so they'd look good. There was the questionable decision about overworking her employees, but she was just trying to get better results and she lost track of what's important.
Yeah.
But for this one, he straight up compromised the mission, saying like, no.
He was the fault.
Yeah, because he was like,
I need to be in charge.
Yeah, he wasn't even like, this is the best decision. He was like, this is what's going to make us look like we're in charge. And so they double tractored like that section and the whole
and it fucked it all up. Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be people out there who will. Tamarian bees. We'll get to that. There will be people out there who think that it's silly to have Starfleet captains sort of act like this. But the problem is, first of all, we know this happens in the actual military.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you're saying it's not realistic, no, it is.
No, it is totally realistic.
And we've seen this repeatedly in Star Trek, where you have captains, lots of captains, who make poor decisions, not necessarily catastrophic, or they might be not that amazingly poor decision, but it results in a catastrophe here, because you can see what he did was petty and childish.
Right.
But it wasn't overtly, you know, he wasn't doing some suicide run or something. He just he tried to get ahead of her a little bit and make his ship look more important, and as a result, you know,
he
screwed everything up.
Yeah, and my issue wasn't that it wasn't realistic. It was more just like they've got time and other things to worry about. They have to pick and choose what they worry about. But it would have been nice if there was some kind of like just a bone they throw out saying like that only took a few seconds to explain away or something.
Make that competition a little. I do agree. make that competition a little bit more explicit. It was, you had to sort of induce it, deduct it.
Deduction.
You had to figure it out from the context which is sometimes that's okay. When you've got, just over 20 minutes to tell a story, you know, give us a line that makes it clear that Captain Freeman and Captain Durango have had some sort of like ongoing beef or something, that they're trying to impress each other. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe they're angling for the same promotion or whatever.
I'm trying to remember if the original series and, or the original, I was like, original with an A. The original series and the animated series. I can't remember if those episodes, they were mostly the same length, but weren't they sometimes, wasn't it kind of varying length?
They were pretty much, the original series was a little over 50 minutes per episode. Because
maybe it was just longer, so it was longer.
What you might be thinking of
is Discovery would be anything on the stream.
Yeah, Discovery and Picard were variable length.
Yeah.
It appears with Lower Decks, they're really trying to stick to a specific length.
Yeah, maybe to put it on TV.
Yeah, and I bet there's probably even some production reasons why that might be easier to deal with too. But
There's always some behind the scenes shit that someone might not think about. It's like, why the fuck can't they do that? It's like, well, because this, and it fucks up
it's a pretty well-oiled machine.
A waterfall of shit going down, you know. After, so,
but on the original series, you had the original lengths, and then when we were growing up, a lot of stations that played episodes, they needed to add in more commercials because it was shot and filmed at 50 plus minutes for the amount of commercials they were showing in the late 60s.
Right.
Now, even in the 80s, they were showing more commercials. So they started chopping time off. And then in the 90s, even more would get chopped off.
45 minutes.
And then if it's in syndication, then it's...
Yeah. Exactly. They would just chop it all to pieces.
They'll just chop a ton out. Yeah.
That was freaking... Like
Seinfeld.
Simpsons, they do it. Simpsons, it's crazy.
Yeah, so the Simpsons was the first time I really truly remember being disturbed, being like, what the fuck's going on? Because it was the Halloween episode where Mr. Burns is a vampire.
Brilliant one.
Yeah, and there's that super fun happy slide.
Why wouldn't I do this?
It was so in the original version, he's like, oh, super fun happy slide. And she's like, no, Dad. He's like, oh. And then later, every time I watch it on TV, they cut out the part where he goes, super fun happy slide. And he looks at it and they cut to her just going, no, Dad. And so I was freaking out. I was like, what the fuck? I swear this was a real thing. Like, would they? It didn't even occur to me that they might chop it up because I was like, why would they do that?
You just thought you were misremembering?
Yeah, no.
Going slowly insane.
Well, that's the whole Otto in his shoes talking. They cut that out.
Oh, yeah. The
hello, things. Otto.
It's really unfortunate. I'm glad one of the best things about the streaming era is that's starting to go away.
I heard.
As well as the speeding up, because with Seinfeld, they actually sped it up.
Yeah.
They sped it up a little and pitch corrected.
Right.
Which is super disturbing when you're watching it and you're like, why is Kramer... extra twitchy.
Yeah, I know. That's the shit where you're like, you only notice it just enough to make you like go a little nuts, but you don't know if you're going nuts or if it's real.
It's real.
It's real. It's a fake.
It's real. I like the Sand Brothers. I like that. Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I kind of dug that they sort of like took a Star Trek approach to the Ascension and Enlightenment thing. It's like, why not? You know?
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's basically like, well, it'll just be some Ascension aliens or something like that. If there's a Q, why not have Ascension aliens?
They reference Q. And then, you know.
That was actually another one of my favorite lines where Rutherford says, "So it's like a Q or the Traveler."
Yeah, no, that was cool. Yeah. That was cool.
So she all told him O'Connor to drop and roll back to the corporeal plane.
Right. Yeah. Stop. Drop and roll.
Yeah. And he's like,
oh, it burns still.
But you know, the thing with that storyline was there was, of course, it was mostly focused where we're looking at Tendi for the most part. But they sneak in. This show is really good at sneaking in amongst the humor and the goofiness. These sort of interesting little points. Sometimes even a throwaway point. For example, when O'Connor is explaining that he was faking the whole thing, right? And he says, it's hard to stand out in Starfleet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's a throwaway line, but it has so much heavy meaning.
Yeah.
In Star Trek and for Star Trek in general, but also for this show when we're focused on these people who are trying to make a career for themselves.
Right.
And it tied in very tangentially, but it tied into the whole Boimler subplot, which was Boimler, we only saw him a couple times, but this idea of Boimler basically losing his mind because Mariner's mom, Captain Freeman, decides to promote
her. Right, that promote. Yeah, no, it was great when he threw the coffee.
What was punishment? What was punishment?
Yeah.
What is what is punishment for Mariner is his Boimler's dream, and he's not even. I mean, of course, I know he says he wants to be a captain one day or whatever, but his current dream is not even to be a captain. It's just to be a lieutenant, you know, right. Just to get that next notch up and get to. He would love to sit in again. It's very Leslie Knope or Amy Santiago on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right.
He wants to be with. You know, following all the binders. Rules, and he wants to fill. Yeah, he wants to have binders, and he wants to fill out forms.
Those two characters love their binders.
But the way they played the voice acting was really good, and the animation was really good. His
was fun.
Very rapid descent into utter madness and frustration.
Yeah, no, that was good. I liked it,
and I bet you it touched a nerve with a lot of people because I think a lot of people are in a situation where they don't understand why. Other people who seem obnoxious in their workplace
are
either getting promoted or getting attention.
Right.
And meanwhile, it's like, I'm following all the rules. And it's like,
why am I not doing well?
Sometimes if you follow all the rules, people don't notice you.
Right. Yeah. You just fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sticky, just another number. Is it
the sticky wheel gets the grease?
Mm. The squeaky wheel.
Squeaky
wheel.
Sticky wheel gets the soap.
Sticky. I don't know a lot about wheels.
Oh well, I totally forgot what I was going to say. It had something to do with what you guys were talking about.
Probably having to do with Boimler.
Boimler. Oh yeah,
Boimler. What? You got promoted?
I don't think anyone called him by a non-Boimler name this time. But he did.
When he threw the Vulcan.
That's what I was going to say.
And he was like, "Fuck you," and she was like, "Oh, don't." Oh, it does look cool.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that.
Well, I'm sorry.
I wonder how many people...
Philadelphia correspondent Jimmy stole Dan's reference.
He knew I was going there. Because I made that thing with my hands. But,
I liked your bow tie. That was funny.
I liked it. I wonder how many people on the internet like said it was cringe or whatever.
If they did, most of them are...
Fuck the internet.
There
you go. Yeah.
I know, I shouldn't
Interwebs,
care.
Fuck you.
Ultimately, I don't care, why I don't read it and go get all like... about it. But, you know, I'll laugh at something. I think I mentioned before, I think the game Borderlands 2 is funny, but a lot of people on the internet are like, it's so cringe. And, you know, fair enough.
Saying cringe now is cringe. When people say that, it's like, that's pretty cringe.
So it's not that I question my own...
Cringe, man.
I don't question my own judgment of comedy, because it's
that's
like...
funny.
That's silly. That would be silly for me to do, I think. So, but it's just, I'm kind of like... I wonder, it's like, I think this is so funny. Who else thinks this is different? It isn't funny. And what about their mind brought them to the conclusion that it isn't funny? And it's so fascinating how people come to different conclusions based upon the same.
I have seen more people.
It's nature versus nurture or some shit like that.
Some people have no senses of humor.
Not that this matters.
There you go. That's basically it, man.
Or people just want to say
it's like,
shit.
It's a fucking show. Deal with it.
And
you know what?
The thing is you see more people. You see more
Vulcan
people online
salute,
saying that they don't understand. They made a mistake by prejudging the show. So it's kind of cool to see that.
Turnaround on that?
Not that. Turnaround. It doesn't matter. I think. I don't know. Who cares? I mean, the problem is a.
It doesn't. You don't have to care. But at the same time,
but
if
it's
you
interesting.
Notice it
is interesting. It's like from an anthropological perspective. It's interesting to see a bunch of people be like, "Fuck this show! It's bullshit." before it airs, and then they and we. Witnessed this on our Facebook page and some of the other social media where we saw people making complaints that didn't make any sense because they hadn't actually watched the show.
Right. Yeah. There you
so
go.
They were stating things about, for example, about Ensign Mariner. They were making statements that were contradicted by the information the show has provided, proving that they had not seen the show. They were merely criticizing the show based on assumptions that about what the show would be about. Mm. But I have also, you know, for better, whatever it means to people out there, you do see on Reddit and Facebook a lot of people saying, you know what, I gave the show a chance. It's different than I thought. Mm-hmm. It's better than I thought. Some of them, of course, couch it by saying like, but you know, still stupid. But,
yeah, I mean,
because, it's just not as stupid because it's as cool to go on the internet and like badmouth everything.
If you're like, if you're entertained by it and you get something from it, I mean, sure, you can criticize it, of course, but there's nothing that says it has to change your world.
I wonder if there might be
just have fun, man.
There might be a
entertained
shift.
For like 25
this is,
minutes.
This is Star Trek for fun. This
it's Star Trek. It's not.
Which, by the way, all Star Trek is always
all
for fun.
Star Trek.
Well, true.
I was going to say all Star Trek is fun.
True.
I'm wondering if the
even if it's heavy, bro,
the tremendous issues that are going on in society, globally. in the United States. I'm wondering if that's shifting things a little in terms of people not stressing out, like this whole like bandwagon, get on the internet and talk shit about whatever, talk shit about Captain Marvel, talk shit about Star Wars or whatever, make a big deal about it as if it matters.
Captain Marvel's cool.
It's like I can't say I'm seeing less of it, but anecdotally, I get the vibe that people are just not paying any attention to it anymore.
Yeah, is it all these incels just online that have nothing better to do?
I think people are like, you know what? There's more shit to worry about in the world
than Corona and
whether or not a
right-wing asshole government.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, is a show to my taste or not? It is. That doesn't matter. Even to myself, it doesn't matter. If a show is not to my taste, I can stop watching it.
Right.
And it does not affect me in any way. Right. Now, granted, we have this podcast, so it would suck if we were watching a terrible show or we didn't like it because it would get aggravating after a while.
Right.
But so luckily, that's not the case.
We'd still be slogging it out and doing a podcast.
We would still be slogging it out.
Oh, my God. How many more are there? How many more
are these going to do? I didn't really have too much to say about last episode. I feel like it was just kind of.
There wasn't
was
much.
Fine.
As
last
much
episode
to talk
was a little
about.
Less.
No, yeah. This one was. More fun.
Of course, one advantage the show has, being so episodic, you know, we're getting character development along the way, little breadcrumbs and things, but being episodic, you can already see the advantage this show has in terms of being able to, like, you can go back in and out to any of these episodes, right? So in the future, if you're not interested in watching episode 3 or it's not, you know, you're just not feeling it, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to watch it. What's difficult with Discovery and Picard, as much as I really like both of those shows, is I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like, okay, I want to watch some Discovery. Well, I mean, do I start at the beginning? Do I watch season 2? Do I watch this last episode of season 1 and then season 2? Like,
no, that's all.
You kind of can't hop in and out as easy. And even Deep Space Nine, in its most serialized, at least until the very end, you could still hop in and out of an episode and enjoy it pretty well. Could be that down the line with Discovery and Picard, you can do that.
Yeah,
but it is a more difficult proposition.
And as the writers can come or can have more leeway. I don't know what they actually have, you know, by their higher ups, but creatively, it seems like they get more leeway in the seasonal or the episodic ones because they're not going to paint themselves into a corner.
Because it's sort of like a positive and negative. The negative is pretty much everything has to go back to normal at the end.
Yeah,
of the
right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But the positive is as long as that condition is met, you can kind of go insane in the episode and go to some really weird and crazy places.
And as a cartoon, it kind of follows that dictate where you start off normal. Everything goes crazy, and then, you know, at the end, it can be normal or not. And
that sounds like
Frasier. Then the next one, it's fine. It's all normal again.
That sounds like Frasier. Frasier. It was just the whole episode was always just getting crazier and crazier until there was an insane scene going on by the end, and then it pops, and everyone's like, oh!
Oh, this is bullshit.
It also helps
not very good.
It helps to watch these a couple of times because they pack so many references to all sorts of Star Trek stuff that you have to be like, oh, okay, wait, I didn't catch that the first time or the second time.
Frankly, even after two, often when I've watched these three or four times,
it's dense.
The colored sand when she knocked all the colored sand of the Ascension guy.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and then she ordered more, and she goes colorful sand, room temperature.
Yeah.
Those kinds of jokes. She's like, wait, oh yeah, you know, it's like they sneak that in there. When she was cleaning out those holodeck biofilters, it looked like she was just cleaning farts out of it.
Yeah,
like,
kind of
because
funny.
They sort of implied that it was maybe
You're
semen.
Talking about
it was like semen and like shit. Wasn't
I think this is a good point to answer.
I was cooking.
We got to ask this question because the point.
It was confirmation of the fact that the people are banging in the holodeck.
Right. It's mostly that.
But Ransom says I forget the exact quote, but it's along the lines of she's cleaning bleep out of the holodeck bleep filters.
Right.
And the only way my brain, and I'm putting this out there to you guys, because my brain interpreted that as she's cleaning the cum out of the holodeck cum filters.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I was trying to think of something else that would fit in there.
That was the consensus.
I think that's probably what it is.
That's so semen.
Based on what I read on the internet, everybody kind of thought that.
Yeah, but so
jizz.
But Freeman. Sure. But yeah. Freeman responded with.
At first, I was like, shit.
So Freeman responded with, they do that?
But yeah, no, it's cum.
Freeman responded with, they do that in there, which made me think it was they clean cum out of the shit filters. Only because she's
why are
people putting, because of course they put cum in the cum filters, but maybe she meant more abstract.
She just meant fucking.
She just meant like abstract, like they put cum in the holodeck, but
Well, they don't put cum in the holodeck.
No, I know,
they fuck a holodeck character.
I know, but the point I'm making...
Semen comes out.
She said they do that in there, and so...
It has to go into the filter.
So that's why I thought, like, there'd be cum in the shit filter that you had to clean out.
Because you might have to go to the bathroom when you're in the holodeck.
Yeah, because, right?
You gotta
pee before you do your thing.
The whole thing, it's like, you'd be like, why would they put cum in a shit filter? But if it was cum in a cum filter, that's where it goes, in the cum filter. Yeah. Well, so I don't know, but...
No, I hear you.
There's arguments for all sides on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother.
I think this will be debated long in the amongst the Star
and
Trek
hard.
Fans.
Oh, it's so
moist
hard.
Vessel.
And she had to lube up the turbo lift.
Yes, she did.
Yes,
she that's had, a yeah. very. You're all very sexual.
That was there was something about the lube she was squirting out that was both horrifying and sexual.
Yeah.
There was some sort of like weird.
It was very sexual.
The animation of the.
Yeah. Dude, did Tendi at one point blow up a wall with a plumbus?
Yes.
A plumbus?
Pretty much.
She blew... That was a plumbus right there.
Everyone owns a plumbus.
Yeah. Tendi and O'Connor are trapped underwater, or, you know, the water's filling
up.
Oh,
that was a great scene when they're underwater.
Yeah, and there's that pink plumbus
and
thing.
And she sees one of them explode. Great Star Trek thing. She sees something happen.
Yeah,
she,
I like that. No, I appreciated that.
That was a good scene.
Realizes she can use that to help save the day.
Yeah.
Yep. Save her.
It's like a point and click adventure.
Yeah, no, I like that. That was a good scene.
Pointy and clicky.
What about, what was his name? Was like Lieutenant Winger Bingston Jr.
Bingston.
And it was like the United Winger. Federation of Characters.
Yeah, and he was like,
didn't see you beam in there.
Yes, he did. He's like, hello. Oh, hello. I didn't see you beam in there.
His head's all turned around.
Yeah. That was the other one that had me. Fucking
yeah,
that.
She's like, Freeman's doing vocal jazz. That guy just, dude, improv.
It's the notes you don't get.
Improv is cool, but most of the time it's so terrible. And just like everyone's like, oh, I'm goofy. You know? And you like the boring poker where everyone folds.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Mandatory birthday.
I'm all in.
Where he's singing and playing acoustic guitar for hours and songs he wrote about the month he lived in Barcelona. Those are pretty good. All the boring shit that they have to do. They are folding a lot. I kept thinking back to like the episode where the time went crazy in the TNG, but I know there were.
Right. They play poker a lot, but it's like, okay, there's the executive poker and then there's like the conferences and stuff. And it's like, well, if you think about it, like on most ships, if you're not playing poker with like Geordi and Data and Riker and Bev,
most ships.
Like
they're
it's,
on all
it's,
the ships.
It's going to be boring. Like if you're sitting in a conference room and it's not like Geordi and Picard being like, well, what can we do about this? And it's like, I bet we can do this. It's like, well, they're just talking about what kind of furniture they're going to
find. I know. The whole bar stool thing.
It's like, what? I thought we were going to do the bar stool.
That was really good.
So when they're talking about
sitting on it wrong.
I've killed men for less.
Yeah, no, you haven't. So, yeah, Billups is getting more love now, which is cool.
Bar stools are cool.
But, and the Shax was all talking about a beige seat with a leather strap.
Yeah,
I was wondering, is that a reference to something in one of the shows?
It's like Picard's chair, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I was like, that had to be a reference. And then, of course, the painful, like, auditing the audit reports, ops to review the ops, basically go to meetings about meetings and things like that. So
that's what you get to do when you have a higher profile job.
Yeah. Everything is to just study itself, make sure it's all, they call it operations.
Yeah. No, operations. The whole angle with Mariner and her mom, right? So, first of all, there's two things going on here. There's Mariner as an employee, for lack of a better term, and there's the relationship with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they intersect. But even if Captain Freeman wasn't Mariner's mom, a lot of what she's doing, at least initially, you understand from the perspective of a superior officer who's annoyed that this officer is behaving poorly. And, you know, of course it is, as they discuss, a childish response for Captain Freeman to follow Ransom's advice to just give Mariner bad jobs.
Right.
Mariner, being a clever employee, she does what everyone in the world should
let's
do.
Bet on it.
Find, you know, as Ransom says, inserting small amounts of joy into otherwise horrific tasks.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought that was like inspiring, but it was like, oh no.
But,
no, it was good. It was good because I had hope.
The idea that Mariner then had
you have a shitty job, but you can make it fun.
Of promoting Mariner was clever because it makes sense that, you know, it's based off of what we already know about Mariner, plus it teaches us a little bit more. It reinforces the fact that Mariner really likes being in the position where she's at, where she can avoid responsibility.
Right.
So she, on the one hand, is highly confident, highly competent, We've seen it in previous episodes as well as this one. But she also wants to avoid actually having the responsibility.
She doesn't want to do anything, really.
And the question is it just the work itself, or is it the responsibility over the people under her command? And I think that's maybe where the angle they're going to go, that maybe that's what some of her issues are, because, you know, if you are in command of somebody, you are not responsible for their lives.
And, maybe right. maybe and something maybe happened died. To her in the past. Yeah, because we know that something like, happened I've seen to shit. Her.
Yeah.
So Ransom made that point about why he doesn't know why she doesn't just kick her off the ship, which is like kind of like not a very profound line. But at the same time, it just makes you wonder, like, yeah, why doesn't she just kick her off the ship? Because she's her mom, and there's something that's going to... Yeah,
mom.
Yeah, and so... And
although we're...
She doesn't want to. It's funny.
Her mom doesn't seem to want her on the ship. Her dad was the one who assigned her to
the ship. And the mom is kind of like, ugh.
And so I guess the question is, we don't know if they're still married. They probably are, but...
Hard to say.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's still their child, and, you know, they have to deal with it. And it was kind of entertaining to see that kind of mother-daughter, which, like...
It was a little too real. It was so well crafted,
and it was funny because I have to throw this out. I was watching, it was my first Star Trek for my little child, who's 1.5, and she was entertained by it. But, you know, no, it was funny. I mean, the whole mother-daughter, I was like, aww.
Yeah.
Like, I get it's not in the maternal, but it's like a parental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand.
Yeah, it was a parental. It wasn't mother-daughter. It was parent-child.
It's just a parent-child kind of... You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Which was why it would
It's like they're the same person, except one's older and one's younger.
Which is why it would
one can do scat singing.
Yeah, one can scat because it's the notes you don't hit.
It was why they could why she didn't want to get rid of her directly. And why another reason why she went the roundabout route is because she didn't want to take the responsibility, in the sense that, like, and I guess Patrick kind of already touched on this, but like, as a parent, she just didn't want to feel that responsibility. It was funny. Ransom told her, he was like, the idea is make it Mariner's idea. And then at the end of the conversation,
yeah, but she knew.
and then at the end of the conversation, he made it Freeman's idea to do that assignment. Yeah. So he's like a master. He's a deceptor.
He is a deceptor.
That's why you're the captain.
I love when they were having a conversation, and suddenly he's like looking at his muscles, flexing his muscles mid conversation, because it reminds me of a couple people I know that it's like, that's real.
No.
That'll stop mid conversation.
I think
just start
I know
flexing.
Like one of the people we were talking about.
I think I do too.
Just look in the mirror and flex your muscles.
Yeah,
it does happen.
Mid conversation.
Yeah, mid conversation.
That's real.
It does happen.
There's guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, like, Jerry O'Connell, dude's hot.
Yeah,
he's still hot.
He's a looker, bro.
He's a looker. He's a handsome sliders man.
He can slide right into me.
That's part of the fun. I mean, sometimes you want to be lost in the character, but sometimes you just want to picture that hot actor behind it.
Sure. Yeah, like, you know, Mariner.
Mariner. Oh, yeah.
There's a Moriarty reference.
Moriarty? That was awesome. Yeah. He's losing his... He's like, Moriarty.
He's like, oh, I'm on the holodeck. Oh, Moriarty.
Yeah,
Moriarty, holodeck.
I like how he picked Moriarty to be him.
Yeah, it's the ongoing Moriarty holodeck thing. It was also when the shit was going down, the computer's like, unauthorized terraformation. Yeah, like, wait a minute. What kind of situations do you have built up here that, you know?
Yeah, another example.
Oh, that's
of those,
perfectly authorized terrorism.
I mean, you could barely even hear that joke.
Yeah.
That's there's so many little things that they squeeze in here that are really, really brilliant in the Star Trek context.
This is another example of Star Trek finding some amazing shit, and what are they going to do with it? They have, like, juice that can make life from nothing.
We'll never hear it again.
That's some pretty serious shit.
Yeah. But, oh, the yes. other the
You
other
just drop
thing,
it on a planet. And
right, it's life-changing.
You don't have to blow shit up or anything, just drop it on a planet.
I think another running gag they're going to do is this is the second time that Mariner saved the ship by just sort of releasing a gas into the ship.
Yeah.
And of course, we saw that all the time on TOS and TNG in particular. They were always releasing some gas or radiation.
It's like, all we have to do is release this.
And just tell the actors to kind of writhe around.
Right.
Oh, herky-jerky-like.
I'm a herky-jerky.
TOS has more of the people like all pretending that the set is moving when it's not, and so they're all like moving from one side of the corridor to the other.
That's like Godzilla needs to be in a suit, you know, like a human Godzilla suit. That's like Godzilla. This is Star Trek. It's like you're like,
whoa,
it's awesome moving around. Oh, I was watching The Expanse, and it was interesting because I was thinking about how their consoles always break, like blow up in Star Trek. And you're like, how are these consoles blowing up? But at least in the first series of Expanse, like there's parts where bullets are just going into the ship.
Yeah, and
like
the consoles don't explode. Yeah, the bullets go straight through the ship.
So I was like, okay, that's it. I buy that. But no, like,
Expanse is great for being much harder sci-fi. You know, it's more realistic in terms of it's all in the solar system and all that.
Super hard.
But you know, in Star Trek, again, the point of Star Trek never was to be a realistic example of spacefaring. It's a metaphor. It's a storytelling vehicle that works really, really, really well. And I think it continues to work well in this episode. I agree, Dan, that last episode, there was funny parts. Parts of it were interesting, but it was somewhat a little less engaging than the first couple episodes. And this one really hit it on all cylinders for me because the A story, the B story were very Star Trek style, but with little twists on it. You had a lot of character development in terms of course, Tendi, as we talked about, and learning more about the relationship between Mariner and Captain Freeman. And you know, as Jimmy was referring to, that the realism of that parent-child relationship,
yeah, that
with
whole
the constant
scene
criticism.
With the
man, it's
like,
true, dude.
She's like, see, it worked. She's like, rough. Yeah, well, it would have gone faster if they used the other rock.
It reminded me of
Why didn't you use the shale? Use the shale.
I remember one time, you know,
what? I just want
to
help you.
My dad used to, my dad's a wonderful guy, super nice. But I remember when I was a kid, he would scold me if I was like following behind him and he'd stop and I'd sort of bump into him or scuff his heels and he'd say like, oh, you gotta watch where you're going. It's like, all right, fine. And then one time I was walking in front of him and I stopped and he scuffed my heels and he's like you can't just stop in the park.
There's nothing you can do.
I was like, all right.
Hey, you're always wrong, child.
I guess I know how that, and I'm a parent now, so
yeah,
I know,
right?
Exactly,
you get it.
I know exactly what the deal
you
is.
You get it.
But it was really well done here. And
it was very good.
What we learn, we're learning more similarities between, which is understandable, between Freeman and Mariner. They have different personalities, but you start.
But they're the same person.
Yeah,
though.
You
deep
see
down,
the hints.
They really are.
Certain insecurities are there. Exactly.
That's why they clash, because they're really the same person.
And
personality-wise.
I want to learn more about Captain Freeman in the sense that we've already described that she is not a top-tier captain. She's not Captain Picard. Mm. You know, that's why she's on the ship that she's on, right? For
example, she's better than that Durango, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's better than Durango.
I can't remember what kind of alien that is.
He's a Tellarite.
He's a Tellarite. Oh, there's a difference there's a difference between being less competent and being incompetent. Freeman... Last episode, I think one of the things that annoyed me a little bit was that I think some of Freeman's actions were kind of a little bit ridiculous, a little bit almost verging too much on parody. Which I don't think is necessary for the comedy. I think they pushed it a little hard. This one, I thought it was better because her decision making all along, yes, some of it was a little childish or whatever. But it was not necessarily poorly motivated, though. She wasn't doing what you would like to see a good manager do, but she wasn't doing anything completely ridiculous either.
So The Office, of course, you have Steve Carell who plays, you know, an inept boss. And then you have, after that, Parks and Rec. I mean, you have other stuff in between. But when I watch Parks and Rec...
There's only those two shows.
Just those two. It's true. He didn't make that up. Parks and Rec, the first episode I saw, I didn't have any expectations.
Hey, it's me, Jail Mike.
But it was the first episode. Leslie Knope did come across as, like, an inept kind of goofy, bumbling.
She was very goofy. They changed her character because she was all, like, boyfriend is... obsessed with a guy she slept with like years ago. And it was just like,
she was too much Steve Carell.
I'm not gonna even
she needed
say
to be her
that,
own thing.
And that's the thing I was thinking,
it
like,
only works
I was
when
like,
she's competent.
Yeah, yes. that's the thing I was like, I liked
Mark
it.
Mark Brandanowicz.
There's a name I haven't heard.
Brandanowicz.
That was that was when I watched it, I liked the episode, but I remember thinking like, oh, she's like Steve Carell. But then as I watched it more, right, she was very competent, you know. She's just kind of eccentric.
She's very eccentric.
They expand on that, I mean, it's also Michael Schur and everything, but in Brooklyn Nine-Nine with the Amy
Santiago
character,
yeah,
it's an evolution in a sense.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Another example
it's
of
a Nope character.
The comedy that can come out of competence, right? Because
Rosa's kind of like Ron.
Yeah, and Rosa's also very competent. The idea that the old sitcom style was that a lot of comedy had to come from, you know, Homer Simpson style, you know, Family Guy style, right, where it's like a bumbling incompetent and thus humorous.
Right, the bumbling incompetents in Brooklyn Nine-Nine are basically Scully and Hitchcock, but they still do shit right have to.
Exactly, they're still not bad. The idea that you can have characters that are competent and you can still have comedy come out of it, and you can still have drama come out of it too, because the hyper competence can be a barrier in and of itself. And Boimler also fits into that. In this show, right? Because he is good at his job. He does does everything right, but he gets in his head, and the stuff that gets in his head results in him doing insane shit, like pouring a bunch of hot coffee.
Yeah, that was such a great scene. I loved it. He was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
That's the type of thing that hyper competence can does not make up for psychological insecurities and damage and stuff, right? Which I think is a really cool thing to see.
I really love that scene because it was just like, I'm going to do bad at my job because then I'll get better. And it's like, he just pours a coffee and it burns his. And it was great because he's just like, what are you doing? Because shit's going bad. And
it's also funny because even if you accepted his logic, which of course we know his logic, it was flawed because he was missing information. Yeah. He did not know that Mariner was promoted to punish her, right?
Right.
So he didn't know that. But even if his logic made sense, he still did it in a Boimler overachiever sense because what Mariner was doing that got her quote unquote promoted was yawning during a meeting. He immediately goes to assaulting the first officer with boiling hot coffee.
And he wants to overachieve.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to fuck up so bad, they're going to make me a captain now.
that's funny. Yeah, such a perversion.
Moriarty.
There was the bees.
Temerian bees.
Yeah, so that began with Tendi, and I liked how she was talking about.
We'll see who gets more honey.
I like how she was talking about. I like the concept of mixing and matching prayers from different cultures.
Yeah,
like to help speed up ascension.
Yeah, that was good.
The Temerians are the people from the Dharma.
Yeah, Dharmak and Jalad at Tanagra.
So
the metaphors.
So yeah, she's talking about beating the system, and then she releases a bunch of these. She calls them Florkas. Yeah, Florkas. I thought that. They didn't make this joke, but she said, we can beat the system, and she released bees. So it's like she was saying, we can be the system. But then, because then you are the system, and that's what happens when you ascend. You be the system.
Yeah. I'm everywhere.
They totally did that
on purpose.
Why is that koala smiling at me, man?
Florkas.
So
what does he know?
I thought they were bees, too. Were they flies, though? Bees?
They called them Florkas.
It's a vital process of the ascension for the Temerians. Yeah. And she was going to align her chakra and then Reiki her.
Yeah, that was great. I like the chakra and Reiki.
I like the concept of her, again, funny. Being a hyper-competent person, an Amy Santiago type. Her idea is, I'll just study. I'll get
everything.
I'll get spiritual by just reading all these books.
She had a huge pile of books, and she didn't eat her tacos.
And I like
that. There were three tacos on that plate.
Yeah, he was all. But Rutherford was psyched about the pudding.
Didn't even look like pudding until he said it was pudding. Yeah. You didn't know it was pudding.
I'm enjoying the relationship between Rutherford and Tendi because they kind of go back and forth between, they seem to take it in turns of being the one who's sort of losing it a little bit. But it's unique to each of their situations, right? And in this case, Rutherford was the one who was able to look at it more objectively and be like, yeah, I think you're acting a little crazy about this whole ascension thing. But he did it in a polite, nice way, which was cool.
The Iberian Peninsula. I bought some Iberian...
That's Spain and a Portugal.
There's no peninsula more central than the Iberian. Yeah.
I bought some Iberia brand pinto beans and I ate them.
Yeah, because you're avoiding the Goya, right?
Fuck Goya.
Yeah. Goya, suck a dick.
We're not making any political statements. We're just saying fuck Goya.
No, more like no moy, moria.
No moya, Goya.
More like no moyo.
Do you like Francisco?
It's a yo-yo ball.
You've been to the Iberian Peninsula, right?
Hell no, I haven't.
You went to Spain.
I wasn't in every spot that was in Spain.
No, but Spain is on the
Iberian. It's on the Iberian.
But that's the Iberian. It was Spain and Portugal.
That doesn't mean you went over every square centimeter of it.
Right.
I mean, then I guess I'm ignorant because it wasn't something that we were like, we're on the Iberian Peninsula. We were like, we're in Barcelona.
You went to Barcelona.
You're in Iberia. It's an old Roman term.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not something that was really advertised as the thing to do. But it was made up of many other things.
Well, it's
welcome
like calling
to the Iberian Peninsula. Welcome to welcome to Spain.
It's like saying Thuringia, like that. It doesn't exist.
Did you go to Ibiza?
Turing. You can go to Turing in East Germany.
Did you go to Pangea?
They don't call it East Germany any longer.
Pangea is an awesome album by Miles Davis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If peeing your pants is cool, then call me Miles Davis.
Oh my God, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Or is it I must be? Or is it I must be Miles Davis? I think it's I must be.
I think you got it right the first time.
Everyone's pee their pants.
Everyone is cool that pees their pants.
Consider me. Oh, it's if peeing your pants is cool. Consider me Miles Davis.
Oh my God, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Consider these me are Miles quotes Davis. From Billy
the birth
Madison.
Of the cool.
Billy Madison.
That thing is over 25
Adam
years
Sandler
old.
Movie that was popular.
I'm over 25 years.
In the 1990s.
Adam Sandler was once a popular actor.
We need to get Adam Sandler to be on Star Trek. Whether it's Lower Decks
that
or
would be,
Picard.
No, I think he would enjoy that probably.
Maybe he should be on Strange New Worlds.
Yeah. There you go.
He could play a dealer in sort of illicit crystals.
He could show up in sweatpants.
So
time crystals are better.
Right. So Billy Madison responds with, ooh, that is the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's go.
Yeah. See, I almost got that.
O'Doyle rules. Yeah.
It's cool.
Conditioner is better.
Shampoo is better.
Conditioner is better.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
This is getting really, really
it's got Adam Sandler.
It's really devolving.
I'm getting the impression we have largely exhausted what we wanted to talk about this week's episode.
It just so happened you brought up Miles Davis, and I said Pangea.
You said Pangea
because Jesse asked me if I went to Iberian Peninsula because I brought up Iberian Peninsula because that's what Ransom said.
And you're like, well, I didn't go all over the peninsula.
Oh, no, this is all in scope. All of this is in scope because Ransom did mention the Iberian Peninsula, or at least kept
it's the most central peninsula.
The central.
Iberia pinto beans.
Pinto.
Don't you like pinto beans? It's a Weird Al Yankovic song called Taco Grande.
It's a parody of
Rico Suave.
Suave by
Gerardo.
It's a better song than Rico Suave.
That song
Taco
is so bad.
It was way better than Rico Suave. Dude,
I don't know. They're both. No, I think they're not equal.
No, you should like YouTube the Gerardo and see how horrible that video is.
Oh, I've seen the video many
times.
Video,
yeah, but now when you watch it like fresh eyes,
we made fun of it back in the day.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay, good.
It is back really old now.
It's old, but
so
it's
so kids
oh,
out there
man.
For the generation, for the what is it? Millennial
like 30 years
generation
old.
Z.
Yeah, it's so terrible, dude.
So Generation Z is the new one.
I guess so.
There used to be a network called MTV.
It played video.
And it stood for
I think it's still there.
Music
it is, but
TV.
They don't play music.
I know.
Videos.
They used
well,
to
yeah,
play
they
music.
They haven't played
for music videos.
They haven't done that in 30 years.
They used to play like Beavis and Butthead, Liquid Television.
It was like radio on the TV. You got your radio, but this was on the TV.
You may have heard about radio on the internet.
So there was this guy I worked with last year, and he was in his early 20s. And I'm not.
That were living in for me.
I'm not criticizing his knowledge because we're from different eras, and why does anyone remember anything? But during we had an evening meeting where we had to do some work shit, and so they put on a bunch of music, and our boss, she's like a Gen Xer hardcore. She put on her like 80s tunes, and one of them that came up was Milli Vanilli.
Oh God,
it was like that one. That's like bop 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 baby, don't forget my number, and it was like someone is like I've been searching ha ha ha. Ha! I've been searching low, 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 low. And like he was all jamming to it. He's like, I never heard this before. He was like jamming to some Milli Vanilli. I was like, awesome. Yeah.
Oh, there's some great.
Because
that,
it's like,
no,
it's
decent pop.
It's got that cheesy synth pop background. It's like, doom, 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 doom. It's like they hit the. the something beat, and then they like hit the. Right. Like, it was kind of like Wesley Willis.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
They recorded it in the store on a demo on the demo unit.
Casio. Yeah,
it's not like the worst thing, but it's not. There the are
best. Great, he was all jamming to it. I
there are great YouTube videos of young kids listening to old. You know, like not even old. I don't. Yeah, they were Peter Gabriel and shit. And they're all like, "Oh, this is amazing." They're like, this is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Which is, the most depressing answer. Yeah, kids are tight.
They should listen to the Misfits.
They're making some good music, some of these young kids. Just go onto Google and type young kids. Go into YouTube and type in young kids.
I'm not going to finish with any joke on
the
that.
The FBI is coming after you.
Just type in young kids music, young Save. Kids dancing, and you'll see some.
Young kids, tight music.
Tight young
Put
kids
in, like,
music.
Tight young tight kids. No FBI.
See, I feel bad now.
No FBI. No, Jesse's right. You got to put in, like, the colon, not the colon, FBI.
Not FBI.
Yeah, you got to put in all those Boolean operators, all right?
Put in the colon.
If you want to search properly, people, you got to use your Boolean operators.
Boolean operators.
It works on a Boolean.
Use a Boolean operator.
Boolean.
I want them to introduce ebullient. Operate.
Ebullient.
You know,
what about ebullient?
They're all like
Ebola.
Ebullients.
They tear your operators to pieces.
They melt your
turns
insides.
It into blood and poo-poo.
I want some.
They melt your.
I want some ebullient cubes.
No, you don't.
Yeah. I'm down for that. Okay. So I think we've largely finished the. Does anybody have any concluding messages, comments, thoughts?
Just another
opinion.
Just another mention of the plumbus. I thought that was definitely a plumbus.
It was not a plumbus. It was like a round plumbus.
It was inspired by plumbus. It was inspired by plumbus.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was an expired plumbus. Because I could see if a plumbus was old. If like an old plumbus gets a little withered.
You think I'm stupid? That's an expired plumbus. All right.
I like it when the captain says hit it and the computer's all like hitting it. And like they go to warp speed.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't even notice that.
Just towards the end.
Rutherford was all talking about like how he had to do monitor the power fluctuation in the tractor beam, but he wanted to do that on the impulse relays.
Yeah, but then when he actually awesome got to Rutherford do it, line. He was all like, oh man, look at these amplitudes.
Yeah, right, that's right. Look at these amplitudes. You see the thing, I'll go like.
A lot of good stuff in this episode. So, and you know, they show the preview at the end. Next week, we won't talk about it. In case people don't want to be spoiled, but looks to be another, you know,
don't spoil it
fun,
for
interesting
everybody.
Episode. Episode 5 is going to be, I guess that's was the middle of the season. There's 10 episodes, right? So we're looking forward to that.
What are we going to do after it? After Lower Decks?
Well, I think Discovery starts right
now. Yeah, there you go. Wow. Discovery.
Yeah, I know.
Full itinerary. Awesome. Our schedule is full.
We'll have to take a break.
Well, my piano teacher was not English, but she always said schedule. And when she was really mad.
She was fucking pretentious.
She was when
she had a pretentious piano teacher.
Maybe she had a speech impediment.
Pretentious.
That's how I say censors.
When she like would forget her pencil or something, she'd go, oh, sugar.
Oh, sugar.
She was from the South.
I
fun. How I say fun.
That South. Like non-moving hair.
I love the fact that you can watch stuff as a child, and as you grow, you begin to get jokes more. Right, mm-hmm. You get more of the jokes. You learn history. You learn cultural.
I didn't get the 69 Bill and Ted. It's like what number am I?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's funny. They know the same number, but I didn't like.
I was thinking
it's sexual, bro.
I was thinking of the
sexual thing.
The joke in Fawlty Towers, right? In the episode Fawlty Towers in
which episode?
It's the
He go crazy.
You know, it's the one where it's actually I think it's the first episode. I believe it's the first episode of Fawlty Towers.
Oh, that guy that's like the detective.
Yeah, so you have the sexy guy, the 70s guy. Salad.
That's the one with the lime Ricky.
The lime.
Is that where they ordered the lime Ricky?
Yeah.
He's the what do you call it?
It's the people that keep getting ignored by Fawlty.
Yeah, it's called A Touch of Class. Yeah, it's A Touch of Class. It's the very first episode, and it's where Fawlty is completely, Basil Fawlty is completely ignoring the kind of sexy, like 70s open chest.
He's
got like chains
and he's all
stuff.
Like flirting with
exactly. And
wife.
It turns out that guy, the guy he's really into is like this upper class guy, but he's just a fraudster.
Right.
And the other guy is a cop. But anyway,
yeah, he's calling himself Lord somebody.
There is a joke in there that I don't think I got until I was maybe, I don't know, 20 something. And it's where it's where the sexy 70s guy, you don't see the joke.
The guy in the 70s, or is he from the
70s? Well, it's in the 70s, well, and he's both, from the 70s.
Both. Yeah,
and so it's probably about 70 right now.
So, but
right?
He's not like.
I bet he's still got that sexy chest.
It's, yeah, right? It's not like he was wearing bell bottoms and being all 70s.
I think he was wearing bell bottoms.
He was wearing bell bottoms.
Oh, it's Britain. Everybody was super stylish.
Yeah, super stylish.
He was super sexy.
Shows what I know.
Like Mrs. Fawlty was kind of getting all into him.
Oh, I know.
But But you don't even hear the joke. You hear the punchline to the joke. And the punchline to the joke, the scene, you know, Fawlty comes into the scene. I think this guy is talking to Mrs. Fawlty, and all you hear him say is pretentious, moi. And I remember my parents would laugh their asses off at that. And as a kid, I love Fawlty Towers. I mean, but I didn't know that joke. Right. And I would kind of laugh along with it. And then one day it clicked. I was like, okay, yeah, moi.
Yeah.
It's
a
pretentious thing to say. So you had a pretentious piano teacher saying schedule.
Yeah.
She's not born in the British Isles.
Mm. Yeah. She was no excuse. South.
Or Torquay.
Yeah. Torquay. What the hell? Yeah. All right. So I think that will do it for us this week.
I've been to the Isle of Wight.
What we got to do is explain the communication methods, right? Because our understanding is that all these young people out there who are using digital mediums also like to communicate digitally, right? Which is why we do not provide our mailing address.
Where can they go?
They can contact us digitally in a variety of ways.
That's what I keep hearing.
Dan is quite familiar with some of these ways.
I'm a digital robot. Look at me.
You can use various sine waves.
I'm a digital robot. Gonna just be me. I'm a robot. I'm a robot, yeah. Digital robot.
It's true. Dan is actually a robot.
I'm a digital robot.
He's a digital robot. Yeah.
Sexy digital
robot. He used to be an analog robot, but we upgraded his ass.
We had the digi.
He got converted.
We got tired of winding him up.
The Dan digi. But the DD.
But I'm still nostalgic for those old analog days.
And you guys will notice this. If you go back and listen to earlier episodes of the podcast, you know, you listen to like episodes 1 through 5.
Dan.
You can hear Dan because we had to wind Dan up. And so at the beginning of the episodes, he'd be all like crazy, like he was on crack. But it was kind of like he would slow down towards the end of
he had more depth to it. It wasn't just ones and zeros.
Yeah. An unspeakable quality about me that you couldn't define.
Now there's consistent energy, but yes, you lose a little of the heart.
I'm perfectly reproducible, but
you pretentious piece of shit.
You don't lose any generations.
Are we going to give these people our email or not? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's a good idea.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Sending
I mean, it
email.
Depends.
Like, you guys talk too much about the Iberian Peninsula.
Censors.
Our email.
Why are you making fun of me?
Making fun.
Fun.
Our, no, she's making fun of you, dummy.
Everybody knows that I pronounce words incorrectly. I noticed that there are some people that just consistently mispronounce words, you know.
Yeah.
I at least try to make the pronunciation right, and I'm not saying I get it right all the time, but some people just, like, they don't try. And that's fine. That's their business. But
or it's an affectation.
Like,
you know, you can have a little foun. Yeah.
No, but it's not even just one or two words. It's consistently like every word.
Maybe they had a stroke or some other debilitating.
Maybe I'm an asshole. Well,
I can imagine you being at work or something like, get a load of this guy. He can't talk properly. That dude got kicked in the head by a bull.
Look at when he stands up and he
that
walks
dude was,
all funny.
He was fine until he went running with the bulls on the Iberian Peninsula.
So our email address is feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Good.
Ooh. And infer, Star Trek.
And we can infer from that, we can infer, what's the website that we can infer from the email address?
www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Excellent. It's what about
egg salad?
I've been hearing all it's this stuff about social media.
At It's Got Star Trek for Twitter and Instagram.
What is this, Twitter?
Facebook,
you can just type in It's Got Star Trek. Yeah. But you could also put a thingy at the front.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want on Facebook, apparently. And Facebook can apparently do whatever the fuck they want to you, too. Like, just change everything around.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're going to send you an email that says we've already changed things around.
Oh, man.
Guess what? You're not going to find anything.
Yeah. Your pictures look better like this.
Yeah. No, no, we're going to turn them sideways because that's what people are into now, turning, craning their heads sideways.
And it was fucking freaking me out because, like, they had changed mine and then you had your changed yours. So we're trying to do the same thing. And, like, well, it's taking me somewhere else. What's going on? I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. And I gave you a million screenshots and you're like, that's weird. I don't know. Yeah,
Dan and I were on the, we were fiddling around on the It's Got Star Trek Facebook page and we were completely confused as to why we were not,
I got
like,
so frustrated.
Yeah. We were not, you know, syncing at all. And then finally, Dan says, Dan and I were sending each other screen caps, and it's because Dan's got a completely different format of Facebook than I do at the time.
Oh, wow.
But now I have the upgrade.
Fucking Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Zuckerberg.
That night I was just like,
Zuckerberg! Zuckerberg is the Borg, dude. Fuck him.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerborg.
I think at one point in the night, I was just like, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore tonight.
I think the Borg have more heart than Zuckerberg. If you ask me.
Damn. Oh, dang.
Yeah, the Borg, at least they got some hive mind going. Oh, he's just by himself.
Oh, dang.
More like,
alone in a room.
More like anus pucker turd.
Precisely. Precisely. Yes. All right. So
Zuckerberg's more like control.
To reiterate what Dan conveyed, we had feedback at itsgotstartrek.com, standard email format for a standard email address. www.itsgotstartrek.com
for savings.
itsgotstartrek.com for the website. All sorts of cool stuff there. And then at It's Got Star Trek. Now, the funny thing is people listening to this shit, they already know this because they're listening to this shit.
I hope they know it. They don't.
And
they don't
all this information is in the, on the website, and it's in the show interwebs. Description. You can find this Dan anywhere.
If you've listened to the podcast so much already, that if you've gotten to this point, then you are.
This is usually the best part of the episode.
Then you
is
know.
Us discussing how to contact us. Yeah. It's probably
so
best.
Meta.
You should contact.
Yeah. So you can contact us or not or whatever. Rate and review.
I'm usually the funniest.
Rate and
make
review.
Make first contact.
Yep.
Rate and review.
Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Or do whatever. Like, oh, yeah, YouTube. Please. You can find us on YouTube, too. Ooh,
you can have a super smooth second contact.
At some point. Second contact. At some point. No promises, third but at some point, too. I think fourth. Dan and I will play some.
Maybe not a third.
We'll do some YouTube-only videos where we'll play some Star Trek games and put that up on YouTube.
There you go.
If you're clamoring for YouTube content. YouTube. Right now, what we've discovered is that if we put something on YouTube, we get a lot of views, whether it's the main podcast or one of our highlight clips, get a lot of views of those. But we get even more views if we mention the term Rule 34 in the title.
There
and
you
we
go.
Literally get 1,000% more views.
Hell yeah.
The secret to like getting
Jesus,
viral.
I'm thinking
people.
We're
there
just gonna,
you go, perverts.
I'm thinking we're just going to put Rule 34 in every title.
Why don't you go outside,
yeah,
people,
it's
summertime.
From now on,
I think just
coronavirus.
I bet you the
go
Rule 34 people.
Corona.
They would search
people,
for Rule 34.
People are horny, dude.
They would see it's got
out.
Star Trek.
I understand that.
They would know it's not Rule 34,
out.
And they would still look.
They
would
whack off
look
to cartoon
just in
porn.
Case, you know?
I don't get it, but
we'll figure it all out. But anyway, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, guys.
Jimmy drove all the way down from Philly just to be here. Now, he's got to get back on the road. Right now, basically, to get back to Philly.
I'm gonna drive in the rain.
Yeah, so, you know.
It's cool when Jimmy comes and it, you know, changes up the dynamic.
Oh, thank you for having me, because I enjoyed this episode and it was cool because my little one got to watch it with me. And
yeah, that's
cool. She was laughing during it, which made it even better.
You get to watch all kinds of cool stuff with your dog.
Well, actually, this was actually the first thing that I really allowed her to watch, like a full episode. Like, I'll give her like little taste and then she's like a crack addict. She's like, so like I gave her the whole full, and when I paused it to move her from the kitchen like to her seat and we're eating, she was like, yeah, put thing back on.
Yeah,
so no, it was enjoyable.
Well, my
thank
kids
you
are digging it.
You gotta show her the Dark Crystal next.
Okay.
Yeah, we watched The Labyrinth yesterday with the kids.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right,
but
so
thank you.
That'll be good night from Jimmy. Good night from Patrick. Who else wants to say good night?
I'm Dan.
I will say good night.
All right. That's Jesse saying good night over there.
My name is Dan.
My name is Dan.
My name is Dan.
You got two Dans here.
How many people are?
Cool.
My name is Dan.
How many people we got up in this gulag?
My name is Dan.
I'm Dan.
We got like 10 people.
My name is Dan.
I'm Moriarty.
I'm producer Dan in the back.
Hey guys,
I'm the one who pushes all the buttons.
Hey guys, my name's Dan. My name is Doodler Dan. I'm here to bring you the hits.
Dan.
I'm up.
Punch your butt.
Okay, the best part of what Dan just punch did is Dan is fully capable of doing a very good actual DJ impression, but because he's such a he's comedic genius, he was like, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Okay,
you got to surprise him.
So that's
this is my wine voice.
It for this week. Moist vessel. Lower decks. Episode 4. Next week is episode 5.
Ascend,
and I
bitches.
Do not know what the episode title is yet.
I forget what it's
by called. Tomorrow. We'll know. By the time this episode goes out, we will know. So we will appear great on the description, but we will appear ignorant right now because we are ignorant of what the episode is going to be called next week. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We can guarantee you will enjoy next week's episode without a doubt. We've got all sorts of crazy awesome plans for next week's episode. Just I hope I'm not overpromising.
Are you doing sign language, Jimmy?
Oh, I'm just doing the Vulcan, like I'm out, bitches.
Yes. Okay. That's a cool new thing to do too, the sarcastic Vulcan.
Look at me, that sarcastic.
Live long and prosper, bitch.
All right. So we will with that, live long and prosper, bitch. I think that's
bitch. That's about it.
All right, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Admiral Vasari, welcome to the Cerritos.
Starfleet commends your bravery and ingenuity. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to get back to work. Apparently, we've picked up a strange signal on our sensors.
Quite all right, Admiral. And what did your sensors show?
Well, nothing at first, but the long-range sensors revealed...
Whoa. I am sorry. Are you trying to say the word sensors? Because to me, you're saying sensors. What is that?
Well, that's how it's said. Sensors. Everyone knows that.
Sensors. Yes, that's right. It sounds right to me.
Me too. I say it like that.
What? No, you don't. This is nuts. Yo, she's making fun of you, dummy. She didn't say sensors.
Well, of course I do. Stop it.
Is this how your crew treats authority? When it's known I mispronounce things? Are you really making fun of me?
Admiral, no. I thought we came to an understanding.
Maybe you need to adjust your sensors.
Would you just stop?
I have never been shown such disrespect. Is she yawning?